Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Welcome to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert, CPA, CFP, on the web at www.yourfinancialchoices.com, or you can listen online at www.wdiy.org. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today is July 25th, 2018. Lori is on vacation this week, and I am pleased to say you have two co-hosts tonight. Myself, Jackie Cornelius, and Rod Young. And before we introduce ourselves, I have a very important message for one of our listeners this evening. We'd like to wish Leah a very, very happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Leah, from Mr. Rod.
So why don't we introduce ourselves? As I said, my name is Jackie Cornelius. I'm a certified financial planner and enrolled agent, and I'm a vice president at Valley National Financial Advisors.
And hi, my name is Rod Young, and it's been quite a while since I've been on the show. And like Jackie, I am a certified financial planner, and I am a CPA, and I'm a senior vice president at Valley National. And Jackie and I have worked as a team together for many years at Valley National.
So one thing we need to just get out of the way here. We are aware that the broadcast signal has had some digital dropouts affecting the broadcast quality, and the WDIY staff is aware of the issue, and our technical team is working on a solution. So just wanted to bring our listeners up to speed on that. So to give everybody a little bit of an update, today it's Wednesday, and the markets were up about 172 points or 68% today. The Dow closed at 25,414. The NASDAQ was up 91.47 points or 1.17%, and that closed at 7,932.24. And the S&P was up 91% to 2,846.
That would be 0.91%, right?
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry.
if it were up 91%, we'd have some people dancing in the streets. So,
absolutely. Yeah, Thank you for clarifying that.
Oh, no worries.
Absolutely. And then just to go over year-to-date, because we're already halfway through the year, a little over halfway through the year, it's probably good to hear some year-to-date numbers. The Dow's up 2.81%. The S&P 500 is up 6.45%. And the NASDAQ is up 14.9%.
Yeah, those small-cap stocks seem to be tearing it up so far this year. Mm-hmm. So I have a little July stock market trivia for the audience. And this is since 1950. So the Dow, on average, in the month of July, and I know the month isn't over yet, I guess next week. But so the average for the Dow in the month of July since 1950 is it's up 1.2%. Mm-hmm. On average in July, which is the fourth best month of the year from an average perspective for the Dow. And the S&P on average in the month of July is up 1% since 1950, and that's the fifth best month of the year. And the NASDAQ doesn't do as well for whatever reason, at least historically in the month of July. It's up 0.4% on average. And that's the 10th best month of the year for the NASDAQ. So just a little stock market history and trivia to kind of throw out there to everyone.
So it'll be interesting to see next week how the month closed out for 2018.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our topic tonight is company transitions and your job. We are live tonight, and we will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening and will answer your calls. take information, and ask you to mute your radio so that you can hear us without the delay, and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. While we will typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and we will do our best to answer them. The phone number to call in is 610-758-8810. You can also feel free to email your questions at www.yourfinancialchoices.com. So without further ado, let's get started. There are a number of different types of company transitions. So Rod, why don't you tell us a little bit about the different types that our listeners might, you know, may or may not be thinking of when it comes to, you know, transitioning?
Sure. You know, typical situations we see, Jackie, are where company has been acquired by another company, and typically the company that gets acquired, you'll see, you know, many employees, managers, executives from the company that's acquired will eventually, would lose their job. Some stay on in the new combined company. So that's one common transition that we see. Other companies maybe will restructure or sell a division, or restructure with some layoffs involved. So what we see, or maybe there's an early retirement program that's offered. We've seen that over the years, where maybe special enhancements are made to a pension, and you can choose to. A lot of times, that's an optional situation where you can choose to retire, under that program. So we see a number of different types of broad transitions in companies.
That's right, and there's a lot of things to think about. So the focus tonight for our show is what to be thinking about if the expectation is that you will likely lose your job within a relatively short period of time after the quote-unquote event. So things that we're going to be going over, just so our listeners have a general idea of what topics we're going to cover, are understanding your existing benefits and understanding, if you're getting a severance package, what does that mean? Things such as unemployment insurance, your 401k or 403b, what things do you need to be thinking through? Medical insurance, very, very important one. And for other listeners, we have people who have pensions, both qualified and non-qualified, and also stock compensation. And last, everybody's very favorite, is income tax planning. That drives a lot of the decisions that you may have to be making during this time. And then, if we have time, hopefully we can get to a little bit of some of the other benefits as well.
That sounds like a great list of things to talk about, Jackie.
Yes, and again, listeners, if you'd like to call in, our phone number here is area code 610-758-8810. So, under our first topic tonight, understanding your existing benefits. Rod, why don't you go over at a high level, what things do we kind of need to think about with regard to existing benefits?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jackie, and that's a pretty broad question as well. So I think the way I would respond to that is to make sure you have on file somewhere copies, whether it's electronic or paper, copies of your various benefit plans, whether it be, the life insurance, plans, your summary plan description for your 401k plan, a copy if you are one of those fortunate people that still work for a company that still has a pension plan, get a copy of the pension plan document. If there is some kind of severance program at the company, understand, get a copy of the severance arrangement or severance agreements. And keep all of that stuff, all of those documents on file so that in the event, one of these transitions happens, you can be ready to educate yourself, about what rights you have, what benefits you have.
Sure. Other things such as maybe your FSA account, a flexible savings account, or an HSA.
Sure.
Or other items like a life insurance policy, figuring out if that's portable upon termination.
I completely agree. So it, to me, education is just such a huge part of it. And it doesn't mean you need to be an expert in each of the plans, but be ready with the information. If one of these transitions happens, you know, you'll hear us mention a few times tonight, sit down and talk with a professional. And so the professional is going to need, going to need that information.
Sure. One other thing I know we would recommend, too, is that anybody who's terminated would prepare a budget. A budget is very important. You know, you might have a budget already prepared, but also, you know, knowing what a budget might look like in the event that you were terminated.
Yep. So we'll come back in a minute and talk about severance.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Hi, everybody. This is Rod Young. I'm here at Your Financial Choices with Jackie Cornelius, and we are talking about company transitions and your job. Before we get into kind of the next topic of the evening within that realm, I'm going to repeat an announcement. We are aware the broadcast signal has had some digital dropouts affecting the broadcast quality. WDIY staff is aware of the issue, and our technical team is working on a solution. And a quick reminder, while we're talking about company transitions in your job, if you have a question on any financial topic, please feel free to call in. Jackie's mentioned the number 610-758-8810. So, Jackie, back to transitions. Severance. Let's talk about severance.
Sure. Severance is very important. Obviously, the first thing you want to get a handle on is how much. How much are you getting? We've seen clients get, you know, it's based on weeks or months or years of service, you know. So understanding just how much that is. And then also very important is how much, and then also what form are you getting in it? Is it going to be a lump sum at the point in time you're terminated? Or do you have the option to select it to receive it monthly over a certain period of time?
And we've seen both. You know, it all depends on the, you know, the company's policy. We've seen lump sum severances, and we have seen severances where you kind of, it's almost like a salary continuation where you get it, you know, for however many months you're entitled to.
Over a period of time, absolutely. Also, any payment for continuation of health insurance. This becomes, you know, very important, especially as you're sifting through, you know, what additional health insurance options you have. So whether or not your severance package does include health insurance coverage, just another, you know, good kind of question to tuck away to make sure you're asking.
Yep, I agree.
And then we've seen this. Clients aren't even necessarily aware that they're due a prorated bonus. So again, you know, not necessarily a given, but definitely a question to be asking. You know, you don't know unless you ask whether or not you're due to receive one.
Right. So someone who's at a level in an organization, you know, a supervisor, manager, executive, where they are part of an annual bonus plan, let's say that their company happens to get acquired halfway through the year, they may be, you know, entitled to, you know, kind of a 50%, you know, of their bonus for that year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. When we have seen that.
Mm-hmm. And that, those couple of items lead into, is there any control over timing? So Rod, to your point, if the company gets acquired midway through the year and there's a bonus that otherwise, let's say, typically pays out in February, does the manager or executive have the option then to say, can I take that prorated bonus the following January if they're terminated June 30th? That could be, you know, have advantageous income tax consequences.
Yeah, or another example there, what happens if the transition happens at the end of the year and you've already been paid a full year of salary and other whatever other compensation, and now you're getting severed? and you're going to get paid a lump sum severance, it probably would be very tax advantageous to not receive that severance payment in the same year you've just had a full, you know, full year of salary paid.
Mm-hmm. And one other thing under severance that's important is evaluating what the benefits you are going to receive while contemplating accepting a new job. So, of course, one thing that runs through people's minds the minute they're made aware that they're going to be terminated is, I should probably start looking for a new job.
Sure. Then I would.
Exactly. Absolutely. Then you have to start weighing, okay, if I'm going to get X dollars in severance or a possible prorated bonus or any health insurance, that equals, you know, X amount. Now, if I get offered a new job, do I give up my severance amount?
Right.
So, you know, again, it's not a one size fits all for any individual out there, but those are just the things to be thinking through.
Yeah, that would be a very tough decision. You've got the bird in hand of a job offer and walking away from the value of a severance package. That could be one of those difficult decisions that you could end up faced with.
Sure. We've seen a lot of times the longer a client is with a company, sometimes the larger the severance based on years of service, and potentially it's harder to walk away from.
Yeah, it becomes a handcuff. Mm-hmm. It commonly becomes a handcuff where there's no way you're going to walk away from the benefits of the severance package.
One other thing to think through and see if your severance benefits provide for also outplacement services. Mm. So, you know, you may be being terminated and they can provide a job placement where they can train or help you do skill sets, help do resumes. You know, a lot of people, they haven't been out of work for a while. So these services can be, you know, very efficient at helping you how to redo your resume and get you kind of remarketable and back into the workforce.
Very valuable service. And another thing you see offered to people at senior levels in the organization is access to a financial planner to help, you know, kind of decipher all of this and, you know, work through the complexities of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. So anything else? I think that covers, you know, the idea of severance pretty well. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, start with getting a copy of your company's severance policy. Things like control over timing. Some companies may be flexible. Some may not offer that flexibility. So, but it can never hurt to ask.
Absolutely.
So what about, so now you've lost your job because of one of these transitions. What about things like unemployment?
So you've done your budget and you know that you have a shortfall. So one way that can help with the shortfall is getting unemployment insurance. And a lot of our clients, they don't know whether or not they're eligible. So one thing we would recommend is it never hurts to apply for the benefits. Yep. The benefits are, for most states, it's 26 weeks up to during a 52-week period. Things can impact that, such as severance, if you possibly are receiving severance over a monthly period. A period of several months that can impact unemployment insurance, but it does not hurt to apply for it. You will not receive full income replacement, but they can definitely help alleviate some of the short-term stresses.
Why not? You're paying into the unemployment fund, and if you're entitled to it, why wouldn't you, apply for it? One thing to keep in mind: unemployment and benefits are taxable for federal tax purposes.
Excellent point.
And I want to just throw this out there because Lori C. very nicely handed us a note that said a reminder to say the call-in number. So we'll say it again. So the number to call, we're going to go on break in about a minute or so. But the number to call, if you have any questions, 610-758-8810. Jackie and I would love to answer your questions rather than sit here and talk for an entire hour. We can do that.
Yep.
but we would we'd love to get some questions to answer this evening. There's a little bit of a contest that goes on where people, you know, who've been on the show talk about how many questions they happened, you know, how many callers they had in a particular week. So
So please call in.
Yeah, you know. So anyway, okay, so that was unemployment insurance. Maybe we can start on the next issue for a little bit before the break.
Sure. Next one is a big one, so we'll only get a little of the way through before the break, but it's the 401k. Mm. So most people out there who are employed have some form of a 401k, 401k, 403b, 401a. It's a savings account is really what it is. It's your retirement savings account. And Rod, I think, you know, let's go over some of the higher level but very important items that people need to be thinking through when they are terminated or their company is being acquired.
Sure. One of the biggest benefits we all have out there, and I'm going to throw a quote out before the break here from Forbes magazine, an article in 2016, author was Carrie Hannon, 45% of workers cash out their retirement accounts when changing jobs. That's a statistic from the Women's Institute for Secure Retirement. So we're going to leave you with that, and we'll come back to 401ks in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Hi, this is Jackie Cornelius, and I'm here with my co-host Rod Young, and we are covering for Lori Siebert, who is on vacation, and that is wonderful.
Hope you're having a great vacation, Lori.
Yes, we do. And to our listeners, we just want to give the phone number again to encourage you to call in with any questions you might have on our topic tonight, which is company transitions and your job, or any other questions you might have as well. The phone number is 610-758-8810. And we are at the exciting point where we are talking about 401ks, which, as we left off with, does affect a very, very large majority of the population. And Rod left off before the break with indicating that there's a very large percentage of people that do cash out their 401ks in the event of being terminated or going through an acquisition of losing their job with their company. Now, that would not be a recommendation that Rod and I would have, per se, but just surprising with the statistic of how high it can be with people when you don't necessarily do the forward thinking or forward planning when these events happen.
Yeah, I guess initially I was surprised to hear that percentage. And as I've thought about it a little more, you know, I guess changing jobs and if, you know, loss of job puts obviously puts financial stress on. So I certainly can understand from that perspective. What I would argue is make that kind of a last resort. Don't do it casually just to get the funds out of your 401k. There's a lot of negative long-term retirement savings consequences, potential negative tax consequences. So don't do it casually. Make it a last resort. Okay, it's time. I've hung in there as long as I could financially. Now I have to tap my 401k, as opposed to, I'm just going to take the money and, set it aside in case I need it. Don't do it casually. Do it when you need to.
So, Rod, you brought up a good question. So for people who have not tapped their 401k, let's say, or have not taken an in-service distribution, somebody might have a loan, though. That's one thing we've seen in the past where if somebody needs cash flow, could be to pay for their children's college, could be for anything. So they take a loan against their 401k. What things do we need to be aware of at a termination event if somebody has an outstanding loan?
Sure, that's a great question, Jackie. Yeah, and we see 401k loans all the time for any number of reasons. And so if you have an outstanding loan at the time your employment ends, I believe it's 60 days you have to repay that loan or get that loan amount rolled over into an IRA along with your 401k. You have 60 days. Or the balance on the loan is considered a taxable distribution.
And that's subject to ordinary income tax, isn't it?
Ordinary income tax, and if you're not 59 and a half, potentially that 10% penalty on early withdrawal. So
that can be something to keep in mind when you're taking loans out of your 401k if you kind of have a headwind that might be an event that might be happening at your company.
Absolutely. So if you have a loan, pay attention.
Good note. So what other options do people have if they're being terminated? What other options should they be thinking through with regard to their 401k?
Yeah, great question. And one we get a lot and talk to people about a lot. And so, the two biggest options are, if the plan allows it, you could keep your money in the 401k. And we see employers that you may not work for the company anymore, but you can keep the dollars inside the 401k as late as 70 and a half is a common, trigger. Other companies, we don't want the administrative cost of administering 401k for former employees, so they give you a certain amount of time to move the money out of the 401k. So option one could be leave it in the 401k. The second option that we talk to people about is rolling it over directly from 401k to an IRA.
Sure. Well, what would be some of the advantages of leaving it in the 401k?
Typical advantages for leaving it in the 401k is simplicity. You've got a preset menu of investment options that have been pre-screened by someone making the decisions on what funds to investment options to have available in the 401k. So from an investment simplicity standpoint, if you don't want to be faced with more complex decision making on the investing side of things, leaving it in the 401k is a good option. A lot of times cost, the underlying expenses of funds inside 401ks might be, very attractive and minimal administrative costs. So it is typically a cost efficient, a simple way to keep your retirement money growing.
Great, thank you. And then you had said about possibly rolling it over to an IRA. So we've heard some of the advantages of keeping it in the plan. What would be some of the advantages of rolling it to an IRA?
Yeah, probably the greatest advantage of rolling it to an IRA is investment flexibility. So for someone who is not as concerned, whose top, hot button item on it is, if simplicity isn't your thing and you don't mind the complexity of having more options available to you, rolling it over to an IRA gives you the universe of investments to put your money in a self-directed rollover IRA, or potentially have an advisor help you to handle the investment side of the IRA. So that's the primary advantage, would be would be investment flexibility.
Okay, and one question I have is, if you do roll it to an IRA, are you still able, if you do gain employment in the future and your new company has a 401k, can you then still roll it over into the new 401k?
Yeah, most 401k plans allow rollover dollars to come into the plan. And so we have absolutely seen individuals, go from employer 401k to IRA back into new employer 401k, or maybe someone becomes a self-employed consultant after that, company transition that we're talking about. They could establish a solo 401k and put the IRA money right into there. Good question.
Good, yeah. So our listeners, you have a lot of options. Again, it's being strategic about your decisions, not, prospective or retroactive with what you're doing. We do want to go over one thing to think through, which is a strategy where if you are not 59 and a half, but you are 55, and you may need some of your 401k money during that time period. Rod had indicated earlier that if you do take all the money out, there is not only is it subject to ordinary income tax, it is also subject to a penalty. So, Rod, do you want to comment a little bit on maybe one other reason why you would want to leave it in a 401k as opposed to rolling it to an IRA?
Absolutely. I think we're about to go on a break, so I will just the phone number to call in if you have questions, 610-758-8810, and we'll be back in a minute. We'll answer that question, Jackie.
Great.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is WDIY. It's 6:29. Your current temperature is 81. On Thursday, you have a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 84. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 69. Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny with a high near 85. And for your Friday night, low around 68. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 84. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 64. And for your Sunday, it's mostly sunny with a high near 84. Now back to your financial choices.
I like the Saturday and Sunday forecast. Rod Young here on your financial choices with Jackie Cornelius, and we are talking about company transitions in your job. But give us a call if you have any questions at all on any other financial topics at 610-758-8810. We were just talking about 401k and job transition, and Jackie, you asked me a question.
Yes.
And that was, is there something special about being 55? And there is, and that is if you leave employment at or after age 55 and pull money out of a 401k plan before you are 59 and a half, those withdrawals are not, they're subject to income tax, mm-hmm. but they are not subject to that 10% penalty. That's a special rule that's available to money coming out of a 401k that is not available to dollars that come out of an IRA. So if you have rolled over to an IRA mm-hmm. and then realize, oh, I need some funds, you've now just added 10% to your tax rate. So if the company allows you to keep the money in and you're at that 55 or older age, it might be a better option, even though we talked about the pros and cons earlier of 401k versus IRA rollover. That would be another reason to leave it in the 401k for the time being.
Well, that is definitely something to think through. And as we've, you know, discussed throughout the show, is these are all things that you may want to be discussing with a financial advisor, tax advisor, just decisions to kind of sift through that, you know, do have lasting implications. One other thing that we know we've seen in the past, too, is we see a lot of clients that hold company stock. We've got a lot of publicly traded companies here in the Valley and obviously, you know, nationally and globally, of course.
Sure.
So what happens or what does somebody need to be thinking through when they hold company stock in a 401k?
Yeah, that is a great question, and it's something we see quite a bit of. We could probably do half a show or an entire show just on this topic, so I'll cover it at a really high level. There's something that's referred to as net unrealized appreciation that applies just to employer stock inside the 401k plan. And what that net unrealized appreciation is, it's the difference between what you paid for the stock that's inside the 401k versus what the stock is worth today. Okay. And you get special tax treatment on that difference.
So why don't you give us an example? If I invested $10,000 in my company stock in my 401k over the years, and understanding these all go in on a pre-tax basis, let's say,
mm-hmm.
and let's say my company has done very well and my value is now worth $100,000.
Sure. So in that instance, rather than, let's say you decide you want to roll over your 401k to an IRA, you would not, you might not want to roll over the company stock portion to the IRA. What you could do is choose to take a direct distribution of the shares of stock, put them in a brokerage account. In that instance, you would pay tax on the $10,000 that you paid for the stock and at the time that the stock is distributed to you. The $90,000 of growth you would not pay tax on until you sold those shares, and you would be taxed at long-term capital gain tax rates, which are more favorable generally than ordinary income tax rates. Definitely want to talk to a financial professional if you have company stock in your 401k and you're leaving the company.
Absolutely. We've seen situations where it is advantageous and equal situations where it is not advantageous, depending on your specific situation. So as Rod indicated, that is something very good to discuss with a financial professional. One other thing I think is important to just note before we move on to our next topic is sometimes when your company is being acquired, your existing 401k will likely at some point transition into the new company's 401k. So in the event you're not losing your job, or you know, you go through that period of time where you're not sure if you're going to be laid off, and then you realize, oh, I do have
a job for me. Yeah,
that's right. Just kind of, again, have your radar up, have the signals up to say, okay, there might be a transition, and to be paying attention to that.
Right. And what are your options? And we've seen clients go through that and, you know, having to look at new funds and a new employer's 401k and a lot of decisions to make there. So, Jackie, we had a call. Thank you very much. And this is Jim from Allentown. And Jim's question has to do with severance, which we talked about earlier. And does it calculate into Social Security, or is it different than normal income? So, Jim, I believe the answer to that question is, you know, severance payment is income that gets reported on your W-2, and it gets reported as Social Security and Medicare wages on your W-2. So I think the answer to that question is that it does go into Social Security calculations to the extent that your earnings aren't already at or above that Social Security wage limit of $128,000 and change this year, I think. So, Jim, I'm hoping that that's the question you've asked and that we've answered, answered the question you asked. But I believe it would go into that calculation.
Yep. But if not, definitely feel free to give us a call back at the phone number, which is 610-758-8810. So next we've had a lot about 401k.
Sure. Jackie, you talked earlier and you said one of the biggest issues people face is this whole area of health insurance, medical insurance. Mm-hmm. So would you like to talk to the audience a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the areas Rod and I see people continue to work for, is to really cover health insurance. So obviously in the event of a termination, it's definitely a high priority item to think through. Most people will have 60 days to sign up for COBRA. So what is COBRA? COBRA is the plan that allows you to continue your company provided health insurance. So whether you're on, if you're on your company provided health insurance plan, understanding what do you currently contribute. The one thing that we want to bring to viewers' attention is when you go on to COBRA, let's just say you're currently paying $500 a month for your health insurance premium. Understand that when you go on COBRA, you're not continuing to pay only your portion of the health insurance premium. You're actually paying 102% of the total health insurance premium. So let's say in my example, you're paying $500 a month. If the company is paying $500 a month, your total health insurance premium is $1,000. You get terminated, you actually will be paying 102%, so $1,002 for your health insurance on a monthly basis.
Right.
So one thing we caution is it can be very expensive. So just because you have the option, it doesn't always make it the most financially advantageous option. One other benefit with COBRA is you do not need to be what we call like medically underwritten. So if you have a pre-existing condition, know that you will still be provided health insurance coverage. And one other point to make is that you would be covered under COBRA for 18 months. That's how long the option to elect COBRA is.
Sure.
And it doesn't have to be for the full period. You can elect it for a month or two or three. It can be a nice bridge to get you to whatever is your, either your next job or your other options, which are always good to note, would be you could go and get private health insurance. So if you're with health insurance company ABC through your employer, you could contact them and say, what would the cost be if I were to have a private health insurance policy?
Sure.
Again, you know, that could be advantageous if you're young and healthy, maybe not so financially cost effective if you're older. And then the third option would be going out on the marketplace. And the marketplace is state specific. And you have the option to, most people can go online, fill out a couple questions. And that does tend to be more financially advantageous. Again, younger you are, but still advantageous nonetheless, because it does tend to be less expensive in our experience from what Rod and I have seen compared to COBRA and getting private health insurance.
Sure. And yeah, typically I think what we see is, to your point, Jackie, is people use it as a bridge, mm-hmm. either to the next job or until they find, you know, replacement coverage through, you know, through an exchange or, you know, directly with an insurer. It, maybe it's a couple month bridge. The important thing is you've got access to it. Mm-hmm. And even with the cost, probably better than the alternative, which is to be uninsured.
Oh, and that's a good point that you bring up. There's an additional cost. So one, the cost is obviously in the event that you would need medical insurance in the time period, or need coverage rather, in the time period that you, after post-termination. The other thing is there is new tax law. It's not so new anymore, where you actually are penalized if you do not have health insurance. I believe the exclusion is around 3 months. So if you were to be terminated, let's say on January 1st, you would have 3 months to go out and obtain health insurance if you would not elect COBRA, let's say.
Or there could be some kind of penalty on the tax return.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Got it.
So our next area of topic tonight is qualified pensions. So we know some of our listeners out there do have pensions. We know we don't see them quite as much as we used to.
They've gone by the wayside a bit, but they're still there.
They are still there, and definitely some important things to think about in the event of termination or acquisition. So, Rod, why don't you talk to us a little bit about, you know, really what are pensions and then what it means to be vested in your pension benefit.
Sure, sure. And that probably is the first question you want to understand. And this gets back to what we talked about at the very beginning of the show. And that is, if you have a pension plan, get a copy of the pension plan document. Stick it in a file and have it there ready so you understand what your rights are. So the first question is, are, you know, have you worked with the company long enough that you have a vested pension benefit? Typically, 5 years is the time frame where you can become vested in a pension. So you could be 35, 40 years old and have a vested pension benefit if you leave employment. It is amazing, and Jackie and I constantly have people come to us when we're doing financial planning, retirement planning, who say, I worked for XYZ company 20 years ago. I think I have a pension from there. I don't think it's very much, and I don't know how much it is. And we get that a lot.
And on a side note, best practice, make sure any existing companies that you've worked with that you may or may not have a pension benefit, make sure they have your current address so that they can always find you.
Absolutely. And then with all of the, we're talking about company transitions, with all of the corporate acquisitions out there, you know, some of that knowledge of pension plans gets lost when a company gets acquired, and now it's a new company that ultimately is responsible for making sure that your vested pension benefit gets paid sometime in the future. It is a real minefield where we see these benefits. People lose track of these benefits. So if you're about to go through a transition, find out if you're vested. And then a lot of companies in their pension plans today have great web-based calculators where you can go in and put in your information and print out the details of your vested pension benefits. Do that.
And again, Rod, would that be a recommendation you have to use that information once you print out what benefits you have or what options you have to discuss with a financial professional?
Absolutely. And print out what the value is of, you know, your current accrued benefit. And then if, you know, assuming employment stops, what would it pay you at age 55 or 62 or 65? And tuck that information away.
Great advice.
So vesting is very important. And then understanding the difference between you know, are you, I'll use the term retirement eligible. Are you eligible for an immediate pension benefit? And each plan can be different, and it's a lot of times based on age and years of service that when you reach a certain point, you can retire and get an immediate monthly benefit. Based on the terms of the plan, it might be what there is referred to as a reduced benefit. And then typically at 62 or 65, you're eligible for an unreduced benefit. We work with an executive group, managers and executive group, their company pension plan. You can take it as early as 55. Full benefit is at 62, but if you take it at 55, it's a 42% reduction from your full age 62 benefit. So we're about to go on a break. We can come back in a minute. We'll finish talking about pensions.
Sounds great.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Hi. Welcome. This is Jackie Cornelius. I'm here with my co-host Rod Young, and we are talking about company transition in your job. Please feel free to call in with any questions. We'd love to hear from you. 610-758-8810. And we have a quick announcement here. That is, we are aware the broadcast signal has had some digital dropouts affecting the broadcast quality. WDIY staff is aware of the issue, and our technical team is working on a solution. So we are here, and we just finished up talking about qualified pensions, and we will briefly talk about non-qualified pensions, and probably go over a little bit of both when we're thinking of qualified and non-qualified.
Sure. Yep, it's a good idea.
So, Rod, one question I have before we move on to non-qualified pension benefits are, I know you had said about making sure you print out your options, you know, kind of go online, put on, you know, if I want to retire or if I have a termination date of now, taking it now versus not taking it now. What does that really mean? Like, do I have to take my full benefit? Because I've seen sometimes where it says, you know, I have an amount, a bucket amount, or I can take an annuity. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about those type of options?
Sure. When you're at a point where you're able to actually receive a pension, typically you have annuity options, and some plans offer a lump sum option. This is one of those decisions where if there's ever a time in your life where you sit down and talk to a financial professional who understands this stuff, this is the time. Okay, we just had one, yesterday. Mm-hmm. A client sent us their pension options from a large company. You know, had worked for the company years ago, large company, household name, and we suggested she go and print out what her current pension benefit was, her age 62 pension benefits, and her age 65 pension benefits, and give them to us. Mm-hmm. So and first she found out she didn't have a lump sum option. Okay, mm-hmm. That maybe simplifies the process a little bit. Mm-hmm. She had 24 different annuity choices.
Just a couple, folks.
yeah. So that's, needs some, good sound decision making in there.
Sure, and I would imagine for someone who is single versus married, single might be slightly less complicated because of things such as a joint and survivor annuity option.
Which would be common for, for a couple.
Great. And are these options, do they tend to sometimes apply to both the qualified pension and a non-qualified pension?
They do, although often certain decisions regarding non-qualified pensions are made years before you're even taking those pensions. And we can talk for a minute about what a non-qualified pension is. But typically decisions for your qualified pension, those are decisions you're making at the time you are leaving the company, retiring, and ready to commence that benefit. We should also talk a little bit the idea of lump sum versus annuity.
Sure. Why don't you talk a little, well, why don't we get into what a non-qualified pension benefit is? So Rod's talked a little bit about what a qualified benefit is. So as many of our listeners are probably aware, with your 401k, there are amounts, and there are IRS-determined amounts where you can put in annual contributions. The same holds true for the qualified piece of your pension. There are IRS limits, currently around $270,000 of the eligible compensation. If the company makes a pension contribution on your behalf, it would be up to that amount of salary and compensation. Once you go above the $270,000, $75,000 threshold, it becomes a non-qualified pension benefit. And there are different terms that apply to each. So what things do we need to be thinking through when we would go through thinking about our non-qualified pension? We know that the contributions get made to that type of a plan when the amount would be above $270,000 of compensation. But sure. When it comes to a termination, you had made a comment about elections being made previously. Can you elaborate a little more on that?
Sure. And we could do an entire show or almost series on this, on these kind of benefits. But at the time you enter into one of these non-qualified plans, you're presented with options as to you have to make decisions, could be 10, 15, 20 years in advance as to how you want to receive the benefit. Do you want to receive it in a lump sum? Do you want to receive it over time? And when do you want to start to receive the benefit? Do you want to receive it right at termination? Do you want to receive it beginning in a specific year, starting at a specific age? And those are decisions that you are making long before you're ever going to be paid these benefits. And great to sit down with a financial planner when you have the opportunity to participate in one of these types of plans to help you. And there could be different elections that you make for retiring from the company, versus if your company is acquired. You could have an entirely different election for when your company is acquired. And we're talking about company transitions, so I think that fits.
Absolutely. So, Rod, you talked a little bit earlier about the client we just had that didn't actually have the option to take a lump sum.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that our listeners would want to think through with regard to taking a lump sum and maybe talking a little bit about discount rates and decisions there?
Sure, sure. And we'll try not to put you to sleep on discount rates. But, so the primary, from a planning standpoint, the benefit of the just getting a monthly annuity is it's going to be paid. You have that income stream. It's simple, and it is coming in for the rest of your life. And if you're married, depending on the election you made, if you predecease your spouse, it's going to continue to them for the rest of their life. So that is simple. It's steady. You know it's coming. You can bank on it.
Does it ever increase?
Most plans, there's not a provision for an increase. So you're getting a fixed amount for the rest of your life, which over time, as inflation occurs, it becomes less and less valuable, I guess.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean it's wrong to take an annuity.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the right fit depending on your personal financial.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You don't have flexibility with it, though. So that's where the lump sum can come in. If you're, say you're 60 years old and you don't need that pension income right now, you've accumulated some savings.
Let's say you're 60 and you start maybe using your 401k money.
You have 401k money. Social Security may start in a few years, or maybe you're going to go find some
part-time
supplemental work.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think you need that steady pension stream right now. You could take a lump sum distribution, roll that over to an IRA without paying any tax on that, on that transaction, so to speak, mm-hmm. and then allow those funds to grow tax-deferred in the IRA until you begin to draw on them, and then you don't have to draw on them in a fixed amount. You can draw on them as you need them. Of course, at 70 and a half, you know, there's a certain minimum amount that has to come out, but and the environment we've been in for the past 5 to 10 years has been an environment of low interest rates. And the mathematical calculation of it is the lower the interest rate that's used to determine that lump sum amount, the higher the lump sum value. So we have lived in an environment over the past decade where lump sums have been attractive relative to annuities. May not be right for everyone, but it certainly can fit in certain situations.
And again, something to keep in mind, back to the whole timing conversation, is if you're being terminated and you can request your lump sum value now, and if you have maybe not necessarily take it now, and depending on when the next year's amounts become available, which that's typically known towards the end of the current year, it might benefit you to wait to take that lump sum, or it might convince you that no, you shouldn't wait because your lump sum amount might actually go down if interest rates go up.
That's where plan pays to really understand how the plan works. And we just had a group of employees that we worked with where they had a guaranteed rate of return by not doing a thing with their pension from March until December of this year, and getting a guaranteed rate of return of 5 or 6%, absolutely safe, but just waiting until December. Mm-hmm. So it pays to really understand those calculations.
So, because we are closing in on our time here, I think we are going to jump to income tax planning, because I think Great. That is just one of the probably most important things. You know, just to recap at a high level here, you know, some of these items that Rod and I have been talking about are not what we'll call day one immediate action items. And some of them are, you know, determining your budget, knowing what you're spending, having copies of your documents. Those are day one items. Starting to look at medical insurance. Mm-hmm. Those are day one items. Other things you can, you know, not, we don't want to say put on the back burner, but they can be secondary items.
401k decision. Typically, you've got plenty of time to make that decision. Even pension decision. Typically, you've got time to make those kind of decisions. I agree, Jackie.
But one thing Rod and I would definitely recommend that you don't necessarily wait on is understanding the income tax consequences on everything from severance to your compensation to, you know, even unemployment insurance that's going to be taxable. Really getting a handle on what your tax situation is going to look like, both in year of termination or change of control, and then the year after.
It speaks to, like, things, you know, if you do have control over timing of receiving some payments, tax planning could be very, very valuable.
Mm-hmm. And even to the point earlier where we talked about some clients who are at that level where they're getting a bonus. A bonus is considered supplemental compensation. So when you're paid a bonus, if it's not in with the normal pay, meaning your normal salary, as a lot of companies will pay out bonuses via a separate pay, mm-hmm. The IRS mandates that there are separate supplemental withholding rates. And believe it or not, you could be in a, you know, higher than 22% tax bracket, but your company will withhold only 22% if your bonus is under $1 million.
We've had some people say to us, I owe how much?
Exactly. And that's directly a cause of this.
Yeah, withholding on those supplemental payments is not based on your W-4 election that was applied to figure out what's withheld from your monthly or weekly salary. And, you know, 22%, and if you're in a 37% tax bracket, suddenly 15% of those amounts can add up in a hurry.
Exactly. So, again, it's just being knowledgeable. We definitely try for our clients to have, you know, them not be surprised. That's the important thing. You get a severance, it's also important to know how much of my severance, if I need to set aside for income tax.
Yep.
You know, whether it's due in April, or even more importantly, if you need to be making any type of estimated payment. You know, we know nobody really likes to pay taxes. The worst thing is if you would have to pay a penalty.
Sure.
Penalty payment. So that's what we really try to avoid. So again, it's knowledge and understanding your income tax consequences given the event that you're incurring.
Yeah, and while most of us are not in this circumstance, believe it or not, that supplemental 22% withholding amount that Jackie referred to is on the first $1 million of supplemental compensation in a year. So you could be in a situation where you literally are under withheld by 100, if you're fortunate enough to get that kind of pay, underwithheld by $150,000.
It does add up.
That will catch people by surprise.
Yes. So a couple other takeaways are if you do have a health savings account and you know that you are being terminated, one thing you can do is make sure that you are taking advantage of that. You know, if you're coming
Absolutely.
Up to an open window, and make sure you're maxing it out.
Yep. Yep.
And the other thing is your flexible savings account. So a flexible savings account is an account where you put money in, and usually put money on a per paycheck basis. And let's say it's February and you've put in $100 a month. So you now have $200 in there because you haven't used any. Your total annual allotment is $1,200 at $100 a month. And let's say you're being terminated March 1st. You actually, in theory, could spend all $1,200. Now, it does work the opposite. If you haven't spent anything and you're terminated, then you would lose it all.
It's a great thing to close the show with, I think, Jackie. And it's been great doing the show with you.
This has Absolutely.
Been this has been a long, long time. Lori's going to be back next week.
Mm-hmm.
I think attorney Dennis Pappas will be her guest, talking about all about probate, what happens when I die. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller.